Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
He doesn't believe us. He thinks we're crazy.
You give me nothing to believe in. Just a lot of vague talk about strange patterns. Irrational proposals. Who's behind this? And to what purpose? How are people being changed?
I can't say exactly. But I think it's spread to my own ship. My first officer hasn't been the same since we stopped off at Earth. Our medical officer says he's perfectly normal, but I don't think I trust him either.
Walker.
We know we don't have all the answers. All we ask is that you keep your eyes open.
That's sound advice at any time, Captain.
Stay in touch with us. Covertly. This meeting never took place as far as Starfleet is concerned.
All right. Are you ready to go, Dan?
Yes.
Are you ready to go, Jesse?
Yes.
Jesse?
Yeah.
Jesse, are you ready? Oh, Jesse's not here tonight.
That was that joke.
Yes, that was that joke.
Where is Jesse?
Jesse's on paternity leave.
Nuh-uh.
He's on temporary paternity leave from the podcast.
Get out of here.
I think he'll be back next week. But
he
we'll
got
see.
Out of here. I thought he was just sick of us.
No, he made a baby. He and his partner got together and they brewed up a baby to add to their collection of babies that they brew. Utilize in their Jesse's wicked experiments.
I don't know how I feel about you using the word brew in relation to making a baby.
Brew? Well, it's a colloquial term.
I mean, that doesn't change how I feel about it.
I mean, I'm not 100% like, sure that it's a colloquial term.
Yeah, I know.
It's
not like you were just saying something to say something.
Well, you know, we can do that too. It is a podcast. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, hello and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
This is a secured channel.
Secure channel.
Yes.
Secure channel.
Unfortunately, we don't
I'm Jean-Luc Picard. This is a secure channel.
We don't have Jesse with us tonight because he is attending to his growing family, but he'll be back again soon.
Figuratively and literally.
But in the meantime, Dan and I will hold down the fort for today's, no doubt, going to be an excellent discussion of TNG's conspiracy.
Who's behind this? And to what purpose?
I'm super excited. We were really excited when Dan's podcast topic selection...
Who's behind this? And to what purpose?
I didn't mean... That was my bad.
When Dan's podcast topic selection algorithm finally spit out conspiracy, because we've been kind of eager to do this for a while, haven't we, Dan?
Yeah, I know. And I've never seen it, like, I don't think I've ever seen it anywhere close
it's
to
never
the top
been, it's
before.
Never been in the list, because Dan spits out an ordered list based off of the algorithm that ingests one of the previous podcast episodes.
It lists all the Star Treks I have in the database, like all the things in the database from like most similar to least similar.
Yeah.
And this one is never visible. So we saw it. Yeah. And actually, technically, we were supposed to have done DS9's Explorers.
We're going to do that next week.
Yeah. And we're actually kind of cheating our system a little bit, because normally what we would do is we would have the week before to ingest that to create what we figure out next week.
We recently changed it.
No, I know. So what it was before is we would do this tonight, and then by Sunday we would know what our next episode was by ingesting the transcript of what you're hearing tonight.
Yes.
And then, but now we're
so
doing it from the week.
What's happening now would be fed into what will be happening next week.
But now what we do is we take it from the week before.
Yes.
That way we can announce next week's at the end of this one.
Yes.
But now we did something completely different. Whereas we did one ingestion, and that was of Star Trek V.
Both of the you insisted on both Star Trek V episodes. So we did a two-part discussion on Star Trek V. And by the way, more on that in just a moment. We've got we've got a lot of emails and voicemails and stuff. Star Trek V, both episodes, we took both transcripts. transcripts, because Dan was like, I will agree to this, but only if you agree to ingest both transcripts, right. Which I did. So, which was funny the way he phrased it that way, because why would I have a problem?
I know. That was my condition, though.
I was like, okay.
I was like, this is my condition. You just got to know it was more that you knew I was putting my foot down about something.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I was drawing a line.
I appreciate it. Line must be drawn here and no further, as they say.
And so we ingested Star Trek V, our podcast of that, and we actually came out with Explorers, and then it also on that same list had Conspiracy. Yeah. And so we're doing Conspiracy this week and Explorers next week, but we'll use it as a buffer to catch up, even though we don't really need to catch up because we got, I'm not going to get all that. But
you don't think the audience is just fucking excited about this shit?
But
this behind the scenes shit. This is the type of stuff you normally only hear on our Patreon.
Right.
That's not true.
Yeah. Come find out. Anyway, yeah. So just so we're doing basically one ingestion, doing two different ones, but it's okay because
it's okay.
Conspiracy, I mean, shit. Like I said, we never got to a Conspiracy before.
Oh,
and it's I guess you'd call it a classic in a sense.
Okay. Well, so first of all, prior to the podcast starting, Dan was bringing up the topic of edging, which is a colloquial term that you may look up in the old Urban Dictionary. I'm sure Google will.
Absolutely.
And we wouldn't want to be accused of edging our audience with regard to our conversation about Conspiracy, because we will be discussing Conspiracy at length in detail tonight. But first, a couple of upfront things. We have some voicemails, email, a couple of administrative items. We already mentioned that Jesse's out this week, but we'll be back soon. We have a very small, very brief second break fun-em-up. In which we'll be discussing the grossest Star Trek moments, which if you've seen Conspiracy, you might understand why we're talking about that. So something to think about. And then what else do we have? Oh, yeah. I mentioned our Patreon earlier. We're going to be dropping a whole bunch of backlogged Patreon episodes over the next few weeks. So now is as good a time as any to check out itsgotstartrek.com/... No, wait. I got that backwards. It's patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
Working.
No, I'm not working.
Working.
If you hadn't noticed, it's been a few weeks since we've done this whole podcasting thing because we took a break over the holidays and
never felt better in my life.
Played some pre-recorded content. I guess it's always pre-recorded, but that's neither here nor there.
I get the idea.
Okay. All right, so yes, let's get through the catch up, because again, yeah, we were on vacation for a little bit, so
I'm ready for new challenges. Now
we have some catch up. First, we have an email.
Would you rather play mustard or ketchup or mayonnaise?
I mean, I'm partial to mayonnaise. If Jesse were here, he would be upset.
Would you rather put ketchup on a hot dog or mayonnaise on a hot dog?
I mean, probably ketchup, but I do like a hot dog with mayonnaise.
Do you like ketchup and mayonnaise on a hamburger?
Yes,
I like that with pickle and raw red onion.
Bruh.
Doesn't even have to have cheese, although cheese is nice. Red onion. That's so good.
Delightful.
It was delightful. Okay.
Yes. All right. Very humorous indeed.
Perhaps
hysterical, in fact.
A word of warning for those who are not familiar. On the rare occasion that Jesse's out, you know, this is a three-person podcast, and there's a certain dynamic that arises from having the three people. And anytime one of us is out, it changes the dynamic a little bit. And when Jesse's out,
I don't like it.
Dan and I have a tendency to often not be on our best behavior, because we would be embarrassed to misbehave in front of Jesse.
Sabotage.
On the other hand, there's also such a glorious reward when you get Jesse to laugh. And
yes.
So Dan and I will often compete with each other to try to make Jesse chortle, to elicit one of those famous Jesse chortles.
Yes. Agreed.
So we'll see what happens.
Sabotage.
Sabotage.
Yes, and there's Jesse's not sitting across from Dan to kick his shins under the table if he's like playing the sound too many times in a row.
A useless ball of mud.
But you can really tell the difference between how Picard and most people pronounce sabotage in Kirk's.
Sabotage.
Okay. Yeah. So, first.
What the hell is all this about?
We have an email from Joe Shorter IV.
Proceed with voice print identification.
And he had an email regarding our discussion of the series finale of Lower Decks, The Next Generation. And so he writes in first in parentheses, or how we, I forget what the subject line was. I should have put the subject line because I'm a fucking jackass. Because clearly the first line of this email references the subject line.
I don't know, just do it.
So we can probably work backwards from that to determine what the subject line of the email was. In parentheses,
you don't understand.
In parentheses, Joe says, or, quote, how we know Dan doesn't constantly think about the Roman Empire or the Roman Republic. Okay.
Wait. Where? How did that begin?
Okay.
Wait.
This is one of those.
I'm so confused.
Okay. It makes sense in context. I will continue reading, and this will make sense. First. Background.
I don't understand.
You might recall that meme from not too long ago about how men always think about the Roman Republic. You remember? Or the Roman Empire? You remember that whole meme that was going around a little while ago?
When? I have no idea. I really don't know this meme.
Year, there was this whole meme about how I don't remember where it was. Some paper or something was like, men on average think about the Roman Empire for 2 hours each day or some shit like that.
I'm going to look that up because that's crazy. I've never heard of that.
You look that up and I'll continue reading the
TikTok's
email.
Roman Empire meme explained on Forbes on Forbes.com.
Of course, because Forbes is such a reputable place.
Fucking Forbes.
Anyway.
Forbes used to be reputable at some point.
Oh, they all used to be reputable. None of them are anymore. Yeah. So just don't worry about it. Just keep listening to podcasts like ours.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your delicious money.
This trend originated on Instagram. Swedish influencer Saskia Kort went viral in 2022 after telling her followers to ask their male partners the big question, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Yeah, okay. So there you go. So Joe starts his email like that, and then he states or asks... No, wait. Okay, how about this... Let me just read the email. See, oh, this is a problem when Jesse's not here. I would never have embarrassed myself in such a way in front of Jesse. I wouldn't have allowed it. In episode 269 of the wonderful podcast known as It's Got Star Trek, Dan declared that having two leaders never works.
Uh-oh. I feel a challenge coming on.
Except it did work for the Roman Republic, which had a consul as its highest ranking elected position. There were two consuls at all times, and they served as a check against each other. It lasted for almost 500 years, which is a pretty good run. On another note, I have to wonder if the rustic Klingon, Melor, that's what's his name's brother in Lower Decks?
The rural Klingon.
Yes, the rural Klingon, is named after the wonderful, and I use that term very loosely, liquor known as Malort, which is from Chicago. Maybe you can do an It's Got Booze episode where you sample Malort, absinthe, chartreuse, and other somewhat exotic alcohols, or maybe make cocktails out of them. Thanks for the show, Joe.
Thank you.
Ah, good. You have a new one. That's a new one.
Yeah,
that's
a new one.
That's a fresh one. I love Dan's thank you clips. He's got a whole section of thank yous.
Yeah, actually, in this episode, there were four thanks or thank yous.
All right.
And there were, I mean, I can play them. There were two I'm sorrys.
Okay, go for it.
I wasn't intending on playing them, but like...
This is thank you time. We're thanking Joe.
Okay.
And we appreciate his comments. We'll respond to them more thoroughly in just a moment. But first...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I comprehend.
Thank you. Accept your gracious offer.
Thanks for coming.
So that was all four thank yous.
Yeah.
And Dan will have added that to his large collection of Star Trek thank yous.
Oh, and there's this one too. And actually,
thanks, Agamus.
Thanks, Agamus. Oh man, that one's so far away right now. I should put that in the best of because
I think you got to add another thing. So Dan, when he first started podcasting, there's just Dan looking at his phone, looking at
thanks,
his notes.
Thanks, Agamus.
Then he has a laptop, and now he has a laptop and a soundboard tablet.
Yeah.
And now he's going to add another screen,
a third screen. Crazy. I don't even know what I'd do with that. There was another thank you, and it was this one.
It is nothing but a lifeless hunk of rock, a useless ball of mud. A worthless chunk of...
Thank you, Data. I get the idea.
And that happened twice in this episode, just real quick. This happened once with Riker.
No, this is good because this counts as talking about the episode in between where we're not going to be counting about the episode, so our audience can't get nearly as aggravated as they might usually do.
We were peppering it in there.
Because I have gotten emails with pictures of people who are standing at home listening to our podcast, and they have their hands on their fists on their hips like this, and they're all like scowling at the camera. And I'm like, who's taking this picture, and why are you sending it to me? So, but the point being, they're like, get talking about the episode.
So you've seen multiple of these pictures. Like
it's a
many.
Very common thing.
That's a weird trend that we started. I don't know if I should be proud or upset.
That and genital pictures.
Okay, so we've just played this one.
It is nothing but a lifeless hunk of rock, a useless ball of mud, A worthless chunk of...
Thank you, Data.
Yeah. So it's Data...
Good thing we played it again.
So Data was told to shut up basically twice this episode. And it happens all the time, but once from Riker. But I think the bigger deal is this one.
A human idiosyncrasy triggered by a fascination with a particular set of facts, or sometimes brought about by senility, or used as a means of weighing information before reaching a conclusion, or as
Thank you, sir. I comprehend.
Yeah, it was great because the computer was like, shut the fuck up, Data.
Yeah, did you notice afterwards he was sitting there all sheepishly and like he was like embarrassed, which was weird that Data was all embarrassed
because the computer is sort of like a peer.
Yeah, I know, but like, you know, it's like, was Data practicing being human? I know, it's a stupid argument to have. It's like, well, Data's not a human. He wouldn't think like
that. Why don't we think about it a little bit? We can bring it up later in the podcast.
Oh, so we're not talking about the podcast now. Do we have more front matter to get through?
I mean, we do.
Okay.
I mean, first I wanted to comment that regarding Joe's comments regarding the Roman Republic.
Oh, right.
Too bad Jesse's not here, because Jesse would be the one who would have an intelligent answer about that. So maybe he'll be able to follow up about that next week. And with regard to doing an It's Not Star Trek episode, It's Got Booze, sure, I'm in favor of that. I like absinthe. I can't remember if I've tried chartreuse. Jesse and I could have some fun knocking together some cocktails. We'll have the occasional cocktail. Now, that could become a problematic podcast. If you want something close to that, long ago, you can search on our website at itsgotstartrek.com. Jesse and I...
I know I won't.
Dan was out of town somewhere, so Jesse and I did a podcast where we covered Star Trek Voyagers, those two holodeck episodes with that Irish village. What was it?
Holograms?
I always forget the name of those.
Oh, yeah, right.
People know what I'm talking about. Fairhaven and the Spirit Folk. Fairhaven and Spirit Folk. Those two, we covered both those episodes. However, Jesse and I also consumed a great deal of Irish liquor.
Up the Long Ladder?
No, I already said it. Fairhaven and Spirit Folk. Voyager, Up the Long Ladder is TNG.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said.
Oh, no. That was that's the racist against Irish people. Yeah. One of the many examples of Star Trek inexplicably being really offensive about Irish people.
Startling.
TOS did it a couple times. So something to look forward to.
So you had absinthe? Is that what you said?
No, we were drinking Irish whiskey. Oh, I have absinthe right here in front of me, as it happens. I have three different bottles of absinthe right in front of me. But that's neither here nor there. Perhaps something we'll do in the future. Thank you, Joe. All right. Mm-hmm. So next non-conspiracy topic, catch 'em up topic.
Yes.
Is a voicemail.
Well, we never even really talked about. We never talked about though the Roman Empire, the two people thing.
Oh, I deferred that to Jesse. Did you want to talk about that?
Oh no, because I don't know anything about it. So maybe
that's what I'm saying. If Jesse were here, Jesse's the history guy.
Okay, so we'll have to talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to take note of right now, Patrick. As you're editing this, take note that we need to put that for next week, because we don't have any way of taking notes right now. So when you're editing...
We have no way to take notes.
Yeah. So when you're editing, you can take that note.
Three screens in front of you.
Yeah. Two.
All right.
Two. All
right. Moving along home, we do have a voicemail from Sincera.
Verify.
You might recall Sincera sent us a voicemail for part one of our Star Trek V podcast. And then in that voicemail, he indicated that he was going to follow up with another voicemail for part two, but he did not realize at the time, because we had not made this public, that we were recording part one and part two at the same time. So we were not able to include his voicemail in the part two episode, because the part two episode had already been recorded by the time he realized he needed to record a new message.
Now and it's too late.
That's a little bit of background that'll be made very clear when you listen to Sincera's voicemail. Here you go.
I certainly didn't see that coming, that you guys would record both episodes in one sitting.
Boom.
Mostly because I didn't think Dan would consent to being interrupted for 4 hours straight. Got your back, buddy.
Thanks.
Anyway, you guys probably already touched on all the nice character moments that I brought up last time, so I'm going to skip on to something else. Sadly, my message here requires ancillary content. Not sure if you gents have seen the video of there's a bunch of prominent British stage actors, and they're all trying to do Hamlet soliloquy with different inflections. To be or not to be, that is the question. No, it's to be or not to be, and so on and so forth. And I always got a kick out of what if we got a bunch of the Star Trek actors to come on stage and do the same thing. But what does God need with a starship?
Yeah.
No.
Good.
It's what does God need with a starship? What does God need with a starship? What does God need with a starship? I'm going to let you guys take it from there, but I hope to hear you guys. I want to hear your take on what God needs with a starship. Live long and prosper.
Thank you. Accept your gracious offer.
First of all, Sincera, thanks for following up. We're sorry we couldn't get your voicemail in the other part two.
And it, I mean, and I don't know if you've listened to part two yet, but on the subject of like me going on for 4 hours, or whatever. I think you and me, Patrick, kind of like get a little at odds at the end of the second one for a minute.
I think in both episodes, yeah. Jen and I got on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
Go listen. It was a really great conversation, a two-part conversation about Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, a movie that I quite like.
It has its moments.
But I first of all, thank you, Sincera. I also want to say your Shatner impression was very, very good. I
agreed.
Yeah, that what does God need with a starship? So fantastic. Thank you very much. What does God need with a starship other than to escape? Any thoughts, Dan?
God doesn't need anything with starship.
Yeah, I know, right? That was that's my conclusion.
What
too.
Else is there to say?
I don't want my pain taken away. I need my pain.
Going through and
what does God need with a starship?
Yes.
What does God need with a starship?
Exactly. Yeah. The different variations of it.
What does God need with a starship? Wait, what does God need with what does God need with us? How would you know that song? What if God was one of us? What does God need with a starship?
Right. Okay. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna do like one of those classic mythological tales, you know, like Paul Bunyan versus the machine or whatever.
Bunyan's a gross word.
It's gonna be Dan composing the music versus the AI composing the music.
Quite extraordinary. So,
all right. So that was voicemail from Sincera. And then we have a voicemail.
Thanks, Sincera.
We have a voicemail from Isaac.
Hello, boys. It is Isaac Brown here from the Trek 365 podcast. I have just listened to you guys do your two-parter on Star Trek V, and I loved it. All right. What did I love the most? I nearly hear you ask. Well, Dan mentioned that he labels his fantastic sound clips, like the ones that are the best ones, in brown. And that's my last name. So thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate
that
personal or maybe random homage.
Of course.
Thank you, mate. Jesse then said, Mr. Brown sounds a little bit close to Mr. Shit. I am Mr. Brown, Jesse.
Watch your mouth, Jesse.
Come here and say that to my face, or I'll come there. And then I'll go, where would I stay? When I'd be thinking about where I would stay when I'm all the way in Washington.
Where would I stay?
Instead of here in Tasmania. loved your take on Star Trek V, guys. It is the worst, maybe second worst of the movies, but it doesn't mean you can't have fun talking about it. One miss that you did in your episode, though, guys, there are three of you. And there are three Star Trek actors that sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And I was kind of expecting you guys to do it.
Oh,
Jesse, take it away.
Again, unfortunately, Jesse's not here tonight. Jesse is lamely not here tonight because he loves his family more than doing the podcast.
No. Negative.
Thank you, Isaac. You know,
thanks,
he's
Isaac,
but he's absolutely right. I'm surprised we didn't think about singing "Row, row, row your boat around," and we can't really do it now because it's just you and me.
Yeah,
and if we did it, like, you want to try doing it?
No, not with only two people.
Not with only two people, right? Because otherwise, we'd have to have somebody pretend to be the third person, and then how
it's
do you
not
do
like
that around?
It's not like baseball when you have like a ghost runner when you don't have enough people to play.
We would keep saying because we would be like Shatner who says "Row, row, row,
row, row, row, row, row, row,
row, row, row, row your boat."
That was. That's amazing.
Row, row, row your boat. I love row. Do you know row, 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 row your boat? Row, 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 row your boat.
Okay.
Row, 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 row your boat. Row, 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 row.
Maybe next week. Maybe when Jesse's back, we can try singing row, row, row your boat. Mm-hmm. Or we'll do it as a Patreon exclusive. How about that?
Whatever rows your boat.
Yeah. All right. And last one, finally, back to conspiracy because we have one last voicemail. But it is on the topic of conspiracy. So here is a voicemail from Werner.
All right.
Hello to the boys from It's Got Star Trek. My name is Werner. I am a first-time caller but long-time listener. I saw on Blue Sky that you will be discussing the TNG episode Conspiracy, and I needed to call in to say that this is one of my favorite episodes because it deals in the grotesque creature that has taken over leaders in Starfleet. This is just such an interesting story, and I quite like at the end when Riker and Picard murder the alien who wishes nothing but peace. Because even if the aliens would like peace, we must understand that they should be destroyed. Thank you so much. I'll take my answer off the air.
Mm-hmm. Ah, good. Thank you. Thank you, Werner. New caller.
Of course.
Werner's a new caller.
You know, I think what should have given it away for me is when you said their name was Werner, because, like, Werner is spelled W-E-R-N-E-R.
Oh, is this your whole thing about the W's and the V's again?
No. That's what I'm saying.
With Chekhov, right?
No, this has nothing to do with that. Okay. This has nothing to do with that. Although it is... That's interesting. I see the Star Trek 5 conversation. Okay, no. What this is about is that if it was the name was Werner for real, it would be written W-E-R-N-E-R. And how many people, when they see Werner, how many people in the U.S. when they see something that looks like Werner, pronounce it as Werner? Okay, and there's no, and you, nobody's named V-E-R-N-E-R, or at least very few people. So the assumption is when you read something that looks like Werner, chances are that person would say Werner, except if you were in Germany. So then I was thinking, like, well, maybe this was an email from someone in Germany, and yes. So Patrick specifically said V.
It may have been an email from Germany.
You pronounce the W as a V is because it was from Germany. Otherwise, if it was some dude from, you know, an English-speaking country, you might pronounce a W. Oh, I can't speak for you. I know you know that W is pronounced V, but you know when it's like Notre Dame, like we don't walk around saying Notre Dame University, yeah. Notre Dame University. We say Notre Dame University because yeah. That's what it's called here.
Yeah. We say Paris. We don't say Paris.
Right. Because it's just not what it's called
here.
We say
Vienna instead of Wien.
Mm-hmm.
However, counterpoint, Werner, as you noted, is such a specifically German name.
Right.
Or Germanic, at least, that when one sees the name, one can assume how to pronounce it.
Similar to Penelope. I remember my high school band director.
Genevieve.
She was talking about, she was watching like Regis and Kathy in the morning or something.
Regis and Kathy Lee?
Yeah, who was the second one? Regis and...
Kathy Lee.
Who was the first one?
I mean, the original hosts were Regis and Kathy Lee.
Who was the next one?
I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, she pronounced like the composer Wagner.
Wagner.
And she brought it up in class. And yeah. It's like, it's Wagner. So yeah. Not everybody knows that is the thing. And
Kathy Lee may not have known it, or whoever her...
And there's a football player. I noticed there's a football player with the last name that looks like Werner. And I'm wondering, are you supposed to pronounce that Werner? I don't know.
You just said that like Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave from, with Tim Robinson.
Like I was like being a big goofy guy with a goofy face.
We're both being big goofy guys tonight.
We haven't really gotten a lot done yet.
Yeah, we have. You've played a bunch of sound effects. We've said the title Conspiracy quite a bit.
We did say the title.
I thought Werner made a very good point, even though it's about the end of the episode. Yeah. It is kind of funny that we go through this whole episode and then all of a sudden they're like, the aliens are like, we just want peaceful coexistence. And they're like, you were going to fucking murder your asses. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know, like, I couldn't tell if they were trying to say that they were being, like, threatening by it. He goes,
you don't understand. We mean you no harm. We seek peaceful coexistence.
So, on the one hand, they do say it menacingly. Yeah.
And they have done menacing acts up till this point. Yeah. So you can understand they did try to take over Starfleet.
But if you just, but it is kind of a funny thing that is their response, is to just blow the thing up. Like,
And it does somewhat come out of nowhere. Which we'll get into soon. After
is Remick is okay? Is Re okay? Maybe it's jumping too far ahead, no. But like, was this a multi episode? In a way, this was built up from episodes before. It wasn't a direct progression from previous episodes or a sequel or a part two or anything. But like, Remick was like at odds with Riker before, right?
Yeah.
So now was Remick? Do you think Remick was like possessed back then too?
And this is where, unfortunately, I haven't seen Coming of Age in a long time. This is episode 25 of the first season of TNG, and in episode 19 of TNG, Coming of Age, that's the one where most people remember it for when Wesley is competing with two other people for like a bonus slot in Starfleet Academy. But then there's this whole other story of Admiral Quinn and this guy Remick coming on board and in irritating everybody by like interviewing them and like giving them a hard time and saying they're like shitty, even though the Enterprise is so awesome. So that's where they first met Remick, and nobody liked him because he was a dickhead the whole time. Even though at the end of that episode, he was all like impressed with the Enterprise.
Yeah. So in this episode, Picard says, the last time I saw Admiral Quinn, he tried to warn me about a subversion within the Federation. Then Walker tried and he's dead. And like this, that was the first time they brought up Admiral Quinn in this episode. Yes. So I'm like, well, that must have been from before. Otherwise, yeah. It's like, what are they talking about? When did that happen?
It was an early example of testing the waters for some seriality in TNG. It goes all the way back to season one, which they continued to a degree with the Borg and other stuff. So this was clearly a direction they were thinking of going that they never followed up on. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on in our conversation. But first, you know what we got to do, Dan?
Take a burble.
Yeah, we got to take a break. So we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we will have a fun 'em up and then continue our discussion of this crazy ass episode. Be right back.
Voice print verified.
And we're back.
Why the devil are we going to this planet?
You know, that's a good question.
Increase to warp 6.
Because what this planet was a hunk of useless mud.
Yeah.
And what have you.
It was a useless mud.
It is nothing but a lifeless hunk of rock.
Yeah.
A useless ball of mud.
So, okay. Well, I mean, we can start from the top.
Well, I was just going to say real quick, because we do have, I was just going to mention this, since we already talked about this end scene where which is famous. This episode is mainly famous for this end scene where they fucking blow the fuck out of this.
It's so fucking gross.
It's John Carpenter X violently gross.
It's so out of place in Star Trek. Everything about it.
Not only in Star Trek, even in this episode was a really creepy, and for its credit, because you remember this episode for this silly ass and crazy ass ending, but you forget about a lot of the rest, and I really like this episode. It's sinister, it's weird, it's upsetting. Mm-hmm. The production value is creepy and wild. But then out of the fucking blue, they're like, okay, we're gonna go all the thing on these people.
And it's that, but also the stop animation they use for that bug creature, which I love stop animation. Yeah. And even when it doesn't look real, I think it's cool either way. Even when it looks silly, but it's just so jarring to see it in this setting.
Yes.
You know, and then followed up with, of course, the blowing up torso and head.
Well, first blowing up the head.
Well, he melted the head's skin off its face, and then it exploded, and then its torso blew up, and then the alien's like,
"Aah!" Oh, there's a mother creature.
Yeah.
Which is like,
oh, it's awful.
Well, that's what prompted me to think about the grossest moments in Star Trek.
So I just, on the stop animation thing real quick, like, I'm kind of conflicted about the usage there, because overall, I like it. I think it's so cool because it's so campy and weird, but it's almost like over the top. Like,
that last scene.
Well, I was like, with the bug.
Bug in that, like, because the bug, when they showed the bug in the case and stuff, it looked creepy and monstrous. Yeah. It was only when it was like,
yeah, I know.
It was looking like stuff Dan and I did in high school. Because Dan and I used to do a lot of stop motion, and frankly, some of them look way better than what they did here. It's like, what's going on?
Bug noise. That's what he's going in his mouth. Well, this really goes on.
I give you credit for making the brave decision to be like, you know, it's like,
see if I can catch those bug noises with all that ambient noise.
Where should I cut this off? You know what? I'm not going to. Yeah. Just not going
Let's keep
to.
Going.
Just keep playing it.
By the way, I like this music part. It's music. It's with the drum beat going. Yeah.
Well, TNG season one, you know, even though they were relying on so much synth, it was effective. They did a good job, and again, a little bit of a John Carpenter-y vibe.
Yeah, the music,
with the synth music.
Yeah,
too.
The synth music does have a John Carpenter vibe to it.
It all works together,
especially in this episode. So.
Yeah, and so this was 1988 when this came out, so it all vibes. But here are some other examples that I've collected from across the web. The old World Wide Web. Some other examples of gross Star Trek moments.
Delightful.
A lot of people mention the creepy earwig creature from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, that is pretty creepy. And I don't like things going on in and out of ears.
Exactly. It's, and it's similar to this creature in some ways. One presumes this creature was maybe
an homage to that
creature.
I'd rather have a bug crawl down my throat than in my ear.
Well, you know, I'd have to think about that. I honestly would have to think about that.
Are you sure?
Yes, because neither...
I don't understand.
I mean, both of them sort of take you over, so I guess I'd prefer to avoid either if possible.
But that's not the game, and you know it. You got to pick one.
It is not the game, and I agree.
If I led you up the garden path, I humbly ask your forgiveness.
people also mentioned, also from Star Trek II, the dead bodies that were strung up in the rafters on Regula 1 in Star Trek 2 in the space station. So Khan and his people murdered them, and McCoy bumps into this bloodied hand with, like,
yes,
hanging out.
Very humorous indeed.
That was pretty
hysterical,
gross.
Hysterical, in fact.
Not as overt, of course, but still pretty gross. Mm-hmm. People also mentioned the Voyager episode Faces, which was, you remember those Vidians on Voyager? They had
Vidalias.
No, the Vidians.
Amelia Bedelia.
They had that phage virus, so they kept transplanting all their organs. They, like, stole Neelix's lungs at one point, I believe. But in Faces, there's a scene where there's a crew member and you see him, and then later you see one of the Vidians, and it just has that crew member's peeled off face just, like, stapled to his own face.
I see.
That's pretty fucked up.
I don't remember that one.
There was Spider Barkley from the episode Genesis, which I think that's season 7, right?
I don't like it.
Weirder TNG. Yeah, no, Spider Barkley is pretty horrific. Yeah. Because that's when everyone, like, mutated into,
yeah,
regressed
into stuff.
Yeah,
something.
Except it was weird because, like, why would he de-evolve into a spider?
I don't know.
And why did Spot turn into an iguana?
I don't understand.
Yeah, things got a little weird. For my money, one of the ones that is comparable to this scene in Conspiracy is the transporter accident in Star Trek The Motion Picture, when the Vulcan science officer or first
something
officer
is happening.
He's trying to beam up, and he's all like, and then, like, you hear this. Kirk is like, "Do they make it okay?" And they're like, "What came back was lucky to be dead," or whatever. I forget exactly.
He's dead.
Yeah,
he's dead.
Tuvok being boiled alive by Kes, remember?
Oh.
In Cold Fire, when Kes...
Yeah, I do remember that
her
one.
Her powers go a little out of control.
Yeah.
And is really horrific. That's pretty bad. We discussed Cold Fire in episode 216 of IGST. IGST stands for It's Got Star Trek.
Why would you do the abbreviation if you were going to... you know, or actually initialization. It's an initial.
It is an initialization.
Or is it initialization? Is that what it's called? Initialization?
Initialism.
I always think
it's
initialism. Yeah, initialization would be when you initialize something.
Yes, we're not.
Initialism.
Yeah, initialization is a verb.
Anyway, why would
initialism
you?
Is a
why
noun.
Would you initialism it? Why would you initialize if you're just going to say the whole thing anyway?
Well, in the future, from this point forward, now I will just say IGST.
But what are you going to do
but
next
first
week?
First, you have to say It's Got Star
yeah,
Trek,
but,
parentheses,
but,
IGST.
But what about next week or the week after? When
that's a new episode.
When there's people that might have never heard us before, we'll have to do it again.
Exactly.
So why bother doing it at all?
In any new unit of publication.
So why bother doing it?
You do it.
Why bother doing it at all if we have to keep doing it? The point of doing something like that is so you don't have to do it again.
Yes,
and make things more efficient.
If I mention the podcast again during this episode, then I can just say IGST and people
so
understand.
That's under the assumption that you'll say that again this podcast.
It is under, to be fair, it is an assumption.
There is a risk sort of a reward association sort of kind of thing going on here.
And potentially a self-fulfilling prophecy as I encourage references to IGST.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there, you just did it.
I did.
You made it worth a while.
I did. All right. Another
it's
one.
It's really not necessary.
Another one. Can you play that again?
It's really not necessary.
He sounds a little drunk, doesn't he?
It's really not necessary.
You want to know another weird ass line? Or no, it's not a weird.
There are some weird line readings in this episode.
There's a great line, I think, because it's, I don't know, just the words, the way the words are ordered.
Okay.
Tired of life, I was, but not anymore.
I don't know. There's something about the order of those words.
You know what
words.
It is? It's the words, the order of the words combined with the cadence.
Yeah.
Makes it really
tired weird. Of life, I was, but not anymore.
It's almost like a poem. It's poetic.
It's a haiku and a half or something.
A museum. That's what Jimmy Pesto Jr. would call his little songs. He'd call them museums.
Oh, because it's a musing poem.
It's a music poem. He had music. He wasn't making songs. He was making music poems as museums.
Another thing that people mentioned a lot in terms of gross Star Trek is a sort of a different direction, but they talked about the Very Short Treks episode Worst Contact.
Oh yeah, that's immediately what I thought of.
That's the one with the booger people.
Yeah,
gross, horrible booger.
It's fucking terrible.
It is. And by the way,
there's boogers everywhere.
By the way, we discussed
Chief O'Brien.
We discussed the Very Short Treks in episode 218 of IGST.
Yes, we did.
There you go. And then I have an honorable mention, which is Riker's slimy alien non-scrambled scrambled eggs from TNG's Time Squared. You might recall Riker is gifted some eggs, and he says he's going to make some scrambled eggs, and he proceeds to just pour some like egg juice into a pan.
Oh, that's when he's making...
Half cook it up, and then everyone tries to eat it, and they're disgusted by it.
I don't think they're actually disgusted in the episode.
No, Worf likes it, but Riker and Geordi think it's disgusting, I think. Geordi thinks it's disgusting.
He was making eggs, right?
He was cooking eggs, and he said they were scrambled eggs, but he made them like an omelet.
I think I feel like I kind of remember that. There was something
gross.
I think there were some gross eggs somewhere.
Yeah, there were gross eggs, and we got to see the gross eggs. That was in...
I don't like it.
In Time Squared, and we discussed Time Squared in episode 90 of... What is it, Dan? Episode 90 of what?
It's got ST.
Ugh, IGST. But in all the lists that people were putting together, Rembeck getting shot in the face was listed as the most gross scene in Star Trek. I think it is difficult to argue with that. This is where it would be nice to have Jesse around, because Jesse would say something like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Or something like that.
Right.
Okay. So back to the episode. Who's behind
this? And to what purpose?
Well, we've sort of skipped around. I mean...
Do you want to start back at the beginning when they're going to Pacifica, which is an ocean planet?
Yeah.
It's an ocean planet called Pacifica.
Yeah, I know. I thought.
Season one of TNG is so hilarious when they're talking about, like, you're using quadrants improperly. Mm-hmm. Riker says to go to a higher warp speed, and then Geordi's like, all right, full impulse.
Yeah, right, he does.
Because they don't know what the fuck anything means yet.
Yeah, he does. He does say that. That's after Riker says...
Increase to warp 6.
Yeah, then Geordi says full impulse.
He's in sector 63.
Geordi's always looking so shocked and offended when Data doesn't either understand his jokes or like some kind of... anecdote he's telling.
And in this case, Geordi appeared to be telling Data some sort of creepy sexy joke, like a sex position joke.
Yeah, which is workplace
violation. Just try doing that in hyperspace.
Right, exactly. So, like, this has happened before where Geordi gets all frustrated with Data over this shit, and Geordi should understand better than anyone that he can't get mad at Data over that. Of course, to his credit, he did chuckle in the end. He did give a little chuckle at the end.
He gave a classic Geordi chuckle.
But you could tell he was sort of like in disbelief when Data was being like, ha, very funny indeed.
This is early in their relationship as well.
Yeah. And I noticed that. So this is Data's laugh. Notice something. Okay. This first and second are obviously different.
All right.
First. Yeah. Second. But now hear the third. Did I play the same one or different ones that time?
See, this is very interesting because I see what you're getting at. It sounds like they've repeated it.
Yeah.
But I also would tend to give Brent Spiner the benefit of the doubt that he would be capable of doing that robotic double move.
Let's do best 2 out of 3.
All right, experimentation time.
I'm going to play two of them. You have to tell me.
My headphones on extra tight.
If they're different or the same.
Different.
Nope.
Ah!
Here we go again.
Different.
Nope. They're the same. One was the third one twice, and the other was the second one twice.
Oh, man.
So here's what they're different, just put a nice little bow on it. They were different, but they were the same.
Play them both one more time, same order. I want to see something about the end, if there's three versus two chuckles.
Starting with two and ending with three.
I don't know. It just sounds a little different.
What's interesting is that
a little different.
The third one ends with a little, huh. Yeah. Listen to the third one.
Yeah, yeah.
It ends with a, huh.
Yeah.
But this one... But they could have just cut the sound off earlier.
Well, they could have taken the third one and then put it backwards and then cut the ha off of the previous one to the third one, second one.
But what do you mean put it backwards?
Maybe they just recorded what in real life it was the third one, what we're calling the third one.
Right.
And then they wanted to double it up.
Yeah, right.
And so they doubled it. They cut it off and put it in front.
That's what I just said. Yeah, they cut off the end.
Yeah, but they could have also put it after.
Yeah, they could have, but they did the first time, and then they did the third time, and then they produced the second time.
Wow.
Because that's how time works.
That was excellent.
egg salad.
What about Ditalics B? What do you think of this name?
Excellent.
Ditalics B. Oh, yeah, that's the name of the planet. Ditalics, it's one of 7 uninhabited planets mined for the Federation by the Ditalics Mining Company. It is a nearby Mira system. So it's named after the company that owns it. Yeah. Sounds evil to me.
Yeah, I know. Okay, exactly. So to start, again, season one TNG, it was very interesting what was introduced and what was discarded later, including this entire plot line. But Ditalics B is a seemingly corporate-owned planet, or at least licensed to some corporation by the Federation.
A useless ball of mud.
So, hinting at the use of contractors, which, by the way, would not and ought not be anything particularly controversial, and I'm sure we've seen other examples of this, maybe not exactly as overt, but maybe even more overt. In TOS in particular, I think we saw some examples of sort of mining companies or mining concerns, some sort of groups where presumably there is some sort of profit motive, which might sound sort of counterintuitive based on what we normally expect the Federation to be. But again, this is first season where they're sorting these things out.
It couldn't be helped.
Another thing that reminds us that this is the first season is they reference coming into orbit to this planet and that there are these other ships there, but we don't get to see those other ships.
Yeah, I know.
One of them was an ambassador class. Yeah, I was like, wait, we didn't see an ambassador class until yesterday's Enterprise.
It was 2 frigates. And for some reason, whenever I hear the word frigate, I know it's a warship, but I always think of like some like merchant barge when I hear the word frigate. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But then, ambassador class. That would have been awesome. Was that what it was?
The Enterprise C was an ambassador class.
Yeah, and that would have been awesome. It was, there was Tryla Scott. Is Tryla Scott related to Montgomery Scott?
Probably. I wondered that, too.
And then there was some guy named Ricks who was a Bolian.
Ricks the Bolian. And then Walker. Was his name Walker? Was his name Walker? I can't remember.
Keel Walker. Who was apparently an old friend of Picard, Jack Crusher, and Beverly Crusher, I guess.
Apparently. This is one of those classic things where you just introduce somebody and it's like, oh yeah, wow, we're old friends. Never referenced before. But of course, it was the season one of the episode.
So at first I thought that Walker was the bad guy because like he was being like kind of a dick. He was being shady.
Yeah.
At one point... He goes, like Picard is asking him something, and he gets all impatient with him. He's like,
no.
No, that's Picard. Oh, wait. No, that's Walker.
No.
Yeah, that sounds like Picard, doesn't it?
It does sound like Picard.
But it isn't. That's Walker. But yeah, he's like getting all pissed off at him. And I'm trying to find the line. I had this all worked out before.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to mention the name Una Karaplides. Una Karaplides. She was one of the people referenced that had died. Referenced by Walker.
Karaplides.
Karaplides.
Karaplides nuts!
But indeed. Indeed, Dan, thank you. I appreciate that.
Una Karaplides.
I found it interesting because of course, Una Chin Riley, or number one on Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, and Star Trek TOS. The cage.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. What it was is Picard like was asking if he could like share. He was like, "This is a secure channel. We can talk." And then like Walker's all like, "No!" You know, he's like getting all pissed off at him, and like the whole planet situation, everything seems shady. And then even when he talked to Troy later, he was like telling Troy, "He's like, we're gonna keep this a secret." She's like, "Is this a good idea? Like this guy's like asking you to keep shit from Starfleet. It sounds really shady."
Yeah.
I think like if it was any character other than Picard, Walker would have been a shady character because like when Troy goes up, like let's say it was Riker and Troy went up to Riker and was like, "Hey Riker,
I'm Zadi."
He said, "Hey Riker, this Walker guy, he's like asking you to do shady shit and hide stuff from Starfleet and you know be an asshole and all that stuff. I don't think it's cool." And then Riker's like, "No, it's cool. I trust him. If it was that episode, I bet it would have turned out that Riker could not have trusted him and the guy would have double crossed him. But since it's Picard always knows best. So there's no way that Picard is going to be wrong about something like that. Because that's what I'm... Because it's Picard. Because I'm saying the point of the episode, part of what they're trying to tell you is that Picard knows what's up. If it was anyone else, they would be wrong. It would be an entirely different plot if it was anyone else than Picard. But since it's Picard, he was right that Walker was legit. But if it was like Riker or someone else, Walker would not have been legit. He would have been like not above board. You know what I'm saying? But since it's Picard.
No, okay.
They're trying to say a different thing. It's a characterization is what I'm saying.
Just to... Because I do know what you're saying, so you can stop saying it. I'm smiling because I'm in full agreement with you.
I know what you're saying.
But I'm looking at you, and you're...
I comprehend.
You're increasingly responding.
Thank you, sir.
Responding
comprehend.
To non-existent attacks on your position. Because I'm trying to be like, yes, I agree.
It is nothing but a lifeless hunk of rock, a useless ball of mud, worthless chunk of...
What I would
add... I get the idea.
Add to that... what I would attempt to add to that is that I think that this is a very interesting story and a pretty well written story. It's a little goofy, and again, I think I mentioned this earlier. The ending is so ridiculous and horrifying and memorable and out of the blue that it sort of pushes your memory of the rest of the episode out.
Yeah.
Because up to that point, it is disturbing. There's creepy vibes and how everything's directed. The thing you were just talking about with Picard, you feel Picard's uncertainty. On the one hand, he's certain in the sense where he's putting his trust in his old friend, mm-hmm. but you know he doesn't feel 100% okay about it, right? Otherwise, it would have been easy. Otherwise, Picard would have immediately been like, okay, sure, yeah, no problem, Walker, yeah, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. He's feeling the things that you're suggesting, which is like, this is a little odd. And the same things that Troy was saying is like, this is a little odd.
So, yeah. So what Walker says, he goes, officers I've known for years are bluffing their way through talk of old times. And Rix goes, that's their weakness, a lack of memory. And my immediate thought was like, this is all kind of vague, you know, it's, you know, like what they're talking about. But then it turned out Picard said the same thing. He's like, you guys are like fucking vague. Yeah. How am I supposed to?
And that's why it's good writing.
So, yeah. So their conspiracy.
It's believable as a conspiracy because it's not believable as a conspiracy.
Well, there was a line that didn't really that I wasn't sure if it was like.
Was that what the Admiral was saying? Well,
there
later?
Was like, but if we have no facts, we have to assume that the. No, that was a different one. Sorry, that's a totally different one, which I also thought it was weird. Oh, this one. Admiral Aaron says, that's the charming thing about them, isn't it? When a machination is real, no one knows about it. And when it's suspected, it's almost never real. Yeah. I mean, is that true? I don't know if that's true, but like, that's kind of like, you know.
It's a convenient assertion to be being made by a bug infested man.
Yes.
I mean, it's convenient to the bug.
Yes, it is convenient to the bug, indeed. So, the evidence we got for the conspiracy...
Again? Okay.
No, just... I was going to say, just the three... Here's the three bits of evidence we got. What? What do you... What?
All I was going to mention, I mentioned this last week, in the last episode... Is that when other Jesse or I say the word evidence, you always play Captain Sisko saying evidence.
Evidence!
But you never play it when you're saying
it's
evidence.
It's kind of hard to formulate thoughts and express them and look for buttons to press at the same time.
I respect that. I appreciate that.
And if I knew I was just going to say
evidence
ahead of time, I would probably do it. But since most of the time when I say evidence, I don't know that I'm going to be saying it.
But you don't know when Jesse and I are going to say evidence ahead of time. And
yeah,
but I have
more brain power diverted towards looking at buttons.
I'll admit what it is I now have an association in my brain, an unhealthy association in my brain between hearing the word evidence followed up by Sisko saying evidence.
Where would I stay?
So when it's undermined, when it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I feel a loss.
You feel a loss.
There is a jarring OCD loss. But sorry.
That sounds traumatic.
Three pieces of evidence. Go.
Not a request.
Piece number one.
So this is the evidence he was giving. This was the what's a synonym for evidence so I don't have to fucking think about this all the time now?
No, evidence is good.
Okay.
It's the best term.
Number one, they said high-ranking officials were backing irrational proposals, which is very vague.
And not uncommon.
Yeah.
By the way.
Starbase 12 was completely evacuated for two full days with no explanation. That's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Then there's...
Although they could just be hiding, you know, a bad chemical leak that would be embarrassing.
Right.
Because the Admiral's son looks like a monster.
So somebody ripped a really nasty fart and they were embarrassed. So
Star Trek fart.
And then...
They could just beam the fart out.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Beam it into space.
Yeah, that's what they do. And there's actually concern about, like, space pollution from gas. It's like all the gas is like replacing
nebula. It's replacing nebula.
It's replacing the vacuum of space. All the gas is replacing the vacuum of space with fart gas, people's fart gas. So, so there won't be a vacuum in space anymore because it'll be filled with people's fart gas.
Okay. All right. Next.
It's going to be a real problem.
Next step. What was the first piece of evidence again?
Evidence.
High-ranking officials backing irrational
That's
proposals.
Right. Okay.
Number two, Starbase 12 was completely evacuated for two full days with no explanation.
Got it.
Number three, McKinney, Ryan Sipe, and...
Una care, please.
Nuts! Died from a series of accidents.
Yeah, apparently, which could be coincidence as well.
And apparently, so interfleet communication has been at a minimum. So it's this is all highly speculative. Is what it is.
It is highly speculative.
But I guess when you got a vibe, you got a vibe, you know?
And that's, it's, you know, that's an argument too. And one shouldn't ignore one's gut. One shouldn't necessarily follow one's gut uncritically either. The gut is but one tool among many, of which the mind and your cell phone are other important components.
You said but. Speaking of... remember how I talked about how Walker was like all short with Picard at first? Like Picard was like, we're in a secure line. He's like, no, no. Well, Picard was short with people in this episode too.
Yeah, he was.
Like Riker was like, are you sure? And he goes,
I'm certain, number one.
That's a little testy. Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of testy. And then Beverly's like saying something like, how do I do it? He goes,
I don't know. Just do it.
He's like, I'm pissed off. And then.
That's season one. Picard's a little bit more testy.
Yeah.
I think season one, Patrick Stewart was a little bit more testy as well.
And so, and then, He wants to do something by himself, and then Riker's like, are you sure? And he goes,
hello, number one.
Like, that's fucking, that was unnecessary. I
hello,
know.
And especially that extra, that weird echo. I know the idea was that he's standing in the turbo lift. So
hello, number one.
Hello, number one. Hold on, do I have an echo? Hello, number one. No, that's the
hello,
wrong
echo. Number one.
That's the wrong kind of echo. Hello, number one. Alone, number one. Alone, number one.
Do you know Patrick's have seven words for echo, but not one word for love?
That's stupid. All right. Alone, number one. All right. Enough of that.
Alone, number one.
Yeah, it was Picard goes, Data goes, all gathered inside what appears to be the entrance to a mining tunnel. Picard goes, very well. Relay those coordinates to the transporter room. I'm beaming down. And Riker goes, alone, Captain? Reasonable question. And then Picard responds with,
alone, number one.
Like, it seemed like it was a little, you know, he could have toned that back.
I think
dialed
from
that
a,
back a little bit.
From a management perspective.
From a
management perspective, if I'm in a leadership position.
He just didn't need to be so curt with him.
And I'm about to undertake something that I recognize will throw my underlings off. I should say direct reports.
Yeah, should.
Underling is no longer the appropriate term. Mm-hmm. So your direct reports will notice a change in the pattern of your behavior. And especially if them noticing a change in the pattern of your behavior might put at risk the very thing that is instigating the change in your pattern of behavior, right? Mm-hmm. If you catch my meaning,
mm-hmm.
then you want to take special care to ameliorate any concern they have by not being curt and by saying, look, I know this sounds weird.
Yeah.
I know this is unusual for me to behave this way. Mm. Don't worry about it. I've got it handled. I'll let you know. I'll fill you in as soon as I can.
But I thought he raised his voice. I don't think he needed to do that.
I don't think he needed to do that either. But do you know what we need to do?
Take a break.
Yes, we need.
Gotta take a break.
We gotta take a
gotta
break.
Gotta take
a ratio.
I hope y'all don't mind, but we gotta
ratio.
Take a break. And when we return from our break, we
22
will...
hours, 14 minutes.
No. It'll be much swifter than that. To the audience perspective, it'll be nearly instantaneous. But when we return from
conclusion,
we will conclude our discussion of Star Trek The Next Generation, Season 1, Episode Conspiracy. Be right back.
Watch your back, Picard.
All right, we are back.
Just try that in hyperspace.
Ha, 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 Morty, you dog.
Yes.
You dog. You dirty dog. That's what Norm MacDonald. Remember when Norm MacDonald would say that? You dirty dog. Yeah. He would say on the Conan O'Brien show, he'd go like, you dirty dog. Well, I think like it was just one episode in particular.
Yeah, but he was a memorable. Memorable person.
But he was a memorable.
He was a memorable.
I'm just saying, like, I just remember when you said you dog, yeah, just made me think of that.
All right. Okay. So
hard to say.
Oh, do you remember the time in this episode that Troy like totally didn't help with remembering what was like going on with those
this
admirals?
This question is feeling a little rhetorical, man. I must say.
It goes, They just got off the thing with the admirals, and Riker says, they seem normal enough. And then Picard goes, on the surface, counselor, any thoughts? She goes, hard to say. Someone is hiding something, but I can't tell who or what. I mean, I guess that's kind of helpful. A little. Someone's hiding something. I mean, that gives them some confirmation to know that they're not. Because one of the hardest things is something can be very doable, but if you're not aware that it is doable, that can make it a lot more intimidating, obviously, right? Because what you're like, well, what if this isn't even doable? So the fact that she knows that they're up to something tells them they're on the right track, I guess. So that's kind of, I take it back. That's a little helpful from Troy. But it's just funny that her first answer to, like, you got anything? She's like, hard to say. You know, that's, it's like her first response, you know?
It was really entertaining watching you navigate that argument with yourself.
Hard to say.
You're right, though.
I was kind of arguing with myself.
You're right, though.
I had a thesis, and I like tried to disprove my own thesis by the end.
You follow the scientific method. That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Boom.
Throw everything against it, and if something changes your mind, it changes your mind.
Agreed.
Wow. It's truth. It's a search. It's not a search for my ego. It's the search for truth.
On the one hand, you're absolutely correct, because Troy has this actual skill. Mm-hmm. She has some actual insight as far as
they
the
just
show
don't
research.
They just don't let her use it.
Well, they let her use it when it's convenient to, and not when it's inconvenient to for the story.
Right, that's true.
But I was. If you were in this situation, if she said that, you could use something. You could be like, okay, I'm now confident that my hunch that they were up to something was right. However, from a literary perspective, mm-hmm. it would not be unusual to have a secondary character say, I don't trust them, or they're hiding something. And you would, in a literary sense, for the purpose of the plot, you would take it as true as if Troy said it, who has the actual skill. So she's got the skill, as opposed to not having the skill of understanding whether it's true or not that the person's hiding something, but it doesn't really make a difference literary sense.
Right, yeah, like, yeah, it doesn't, like, benefit the viewer at all. No. Like, we don't get anything out of that. Because, we are, by virtue of the fact that we're watching this, we know there's something going on, and clues they've given earlier. So, right, it doesn't accomplish anything. Yeah, which is too bad.
We work together to provide the audience with some not insignificant degree of insight just there.
Mm. I think we're pretty insightful dudes.
We don't, the rest of the podcast, the rest of the next 25 minutes or so, we can just be goofing around, making fart jokes, just dick jokes.
I mean, you're lucky you got what you got, guys and girls and people and pals.
Guys, Dan just revealed himself to be mildly misogynistic there.
But girls that's and guys and peoples and pals.
It's because of the system we're raised in.
Yeah, I'm
trying.
I know that's not good enough, but I am trying.
Getting back to the old show, the old discussion. When Picard comes back and he goes to Data and he's like, I have a project suited for your particular talents.
Yes.
The look on Data's face was like,
yes.
My notes just say Data weird face.
Yeah. It was kind of like,
I rewound it like 20 times.
I know. It was kind of like incredulous combined with giddiness combined with confusion.
And like what is he talking about?
Yeah. It was the weird. Data had a lot of weird shit going on in the episode, like that. And then
season
like
one Data.
And then what I brought up before about like him getting all sheepish and embarrassed because the computer was bored by him.
Yeah.
Told him to shut up. And he was like, oh, okay. And he got, you know, and season one Data trying to figure it all out, you know.
And then Admiral, we have this conversation.
I had that note in my notes too, by the way, about the fucking face he was making.
Yeah. So we have this conversation when they get back to Earth, which, by the way, again, particularly egregious during season one of TNG, where distances traveled were purely by convenience. Mm. Because Picard at one point is talking about how we haven't heard from Starfleet very much because we've been traveling or exploring the outer rim. Mm. And then next thing you know, they're like, oh, let's go to fucking Earth. And they're like, okay, we're at Earth now. Just like, oh, and there's no other ships at Earth. Oh. It's just us. There's no other ships in this entire universe. And then they get back to Earth super quickly.
Speaking of sort of plot device things, like I can't even remember the article or where I read it, but
Was the article the?
It was about how the problem with the transporters is they have to invent reasons for them not to work in certain episodes when they want to.
Well, that's what happens in Star Trek 5.
That's why I was noting it, because I was like, yeah, that we were just talking about that with Star Trek 5. Like, in order for the plot and the story to work, they have to invent a reason for it. And in Star Trek 5, it was this big elaborate thing where, like, the firmware on the ship was going haywire.
The whole ship was fucking shit.
And something that you would think would sort of, like, fuck with the whole movie, it really was just for that one little bit to move that one part forward. They had this whole thing.
And to make a couple jokes like, red,
yeah, I know. Red alert. Yeah, that was funny. Whoops.
Okay.
Yes. Very humorous indeed.
Okay.
Hysterical, in fact.
They talk to the admirals, weird.
And speaking of warp, Data was talking about how they're 9.63 hours behind schedule. He's got that Spock problem where you're talking in ways that don't make fucking sense. Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to understand what 9.63? I mean, you have an idea of what it means, but...
As opposed to, like, 9 hours and X minutes?
Yes, exactly. Like, what the fuck is 0.4? And, like, he goes... It's 0.63 hours, you know, and it's like, what the fuck?
It is a good question.
It's terrible communication, because you're not getting your message across unless there's some kind of universal standard, because that's how they talk about time now, is in decimals. But the only ones I've ever heard is Spock and Data. So I'm going to make the assumption, the brave assumption, that this is not a Starfleet standard thing. Like, you know,
do you remember a Swatch time? Swatch was pushing Swatch time.
You give him the Swatch. You give him the Swatch.
I held this Swatch up my ass.
That's very good.
It's a Pulp Fiction reference for those who...
He give me the Swatch.
He give me the Swatch.
Never felt better in my life.
We're going off the rails here. This is what happens when Jesse's not here. No, real quick, to conclude that thought,
snap your neck in a second, but it wouldn't be as much fun.
Swatch was trying to push universal time, where it would just be one time. There would be no time zones. It'd just be like you would just get used to the fact that things happen at different times.
Well, I mean,
I found that a really attractive idea.
Well, there is UTC. There's universal time. Something or other.
No, I know, but nobody uses it. Swatch had
something. They do use it, actually.
No, okay, look, of course people use it. I mean,
people in the government and shit want a lot of things in UTC.
Yeah, I understand that for technical reasons. I'm referring
coordinated universal time.
Yeah, the idea that Swatch put. I mean, I know it wasn't Swatch's original idea, but they were pushing it forward. That it would just be like that. Everyone would read the same time at the same moment. Mm-hmm. It would just be if you were in New York, the sun comes up at 10. And if you're in London, the sun comes up at 15 right. or whatever. And the numbers were also different, too. It wasn't divided into hours and days. It was some other crazy thing. Anyway.
I think Swatch... I don't know enough about Swatch time to be able to make this assertion 100%, but Swatch time sounds a lot like their own version of UTC. That's what it sounds like, basically the same thing.
All right. Conspiracy.
Excuse me. I didn't mean for that to happen. That was gross. Sorry about that.
Okay, back to conspiracy. Let's get back to the old conspiracy.
That's sound advice at any time.
So they beam down to Earth, and first of all, there's nobody walking around.
Will Smith says, "Welcome to Earth."
They can't afford any extras. My notes say, "A quiet night means a low budget."
Yeah, I know. I love that the reasoning. It's like, oh, it's just a quiet night on the ship. It's like, but really? That explains it.
The sets were like super TOS style.
Did you
super TOS okay. style? All the angles and everything just jumping, looked like straight out of TOS.
Jumping back when they went to Dystabilix, or what was that planet called?
Andrew Dice Clay?
Hickory
Dickory Dock.
Dice K.
The warp drives off the clock.
That planet. Anyway,
which planet?
The conspiracy.
Dytalix B.
When he met up with the three captains, like
when they were diverted on their way to Pacifica.
Yeah, the water planet. Where Troy was talking about swimming. Oh yeah, Troy's talking about swimming. She's like, Data, it's great to swim in moonlight. And he's like, you can swim in moonlight. This is back when that's not even a colloquial phrase or a joke. It's like, it's just the way English, the language works. And Data couldn't understand it. She wasn't like using some kind of metaphor or something that you only have to understand by living among the culture. Like swimming in moonlight is just what the sentence says it is. Yeah. It is a confusing sentence, but you'd think Data would have had that down by then, but it's okay. It's season one Data. He's capable of all sorts of shit.
And it's 1988 Star Trek.
Yeah. So, but what I was saying is when they're on the planet, you were talking about TOS sets. And I was thinking when Picard's like in the background, it's all red in the background and they're in that cave.
Yeah. Going down a ramp, like an alien ramp.
It kind of reminded me of like, kind of like, okay, you ever hear chiptune music, which is like mm-hmm. supposed to sound like 8-bit music,
yeah.
but it's like, it's amped up, right? So it's in the style of 8-bit music, but it's actually more than what an 8-bit machine could handle in most yes. cases. That's kind of like, this was with TOS. It was like chiptune music to Nintendo music is this scene, this space scene to a TOS space scene or something.
I understand the analogy you're putting forth.
Yeah, I'm trying.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty.
I think it'll make sense to a good portion of our audience as well.
I mean, I didn't. I thought it was. I thought it looked pretty good for the time.
I thought it looked great.
Yeah,
there was a lot that was great in this episode in terms of the production design and the cinematography. I just thought a lot of interesting camera angles, interesting yeah. use of colors. Again, very evocative of TOS, but in that modern style. There was stuff that was silly and awesome. Right, so there was silly. There was stuff that was only silly, and then there was stuff that was silly and awesome.
I thought the stop animation bug was silly and awesome to me.
That was either silly or silly and awesome.
I think it was silly
for
and
me.
Awesome.
What was silly and awesome was the fight between Riker and then later Worf and Admiral Quinn.
The one where you could very easily see the stunt doubles for both
hilarious.
Riker and Quinn.
Yes. But then you got to see the badassery that was like Riker super kick.
Yeah, I liked it. Did that close up of the front of Jonathan Frakes like doing yeah. some kind of like kick thing.
And then the fucking foot is just like, yeah. kicking, like Quinn goes flying.
Yeah, he does. And then Quinn does some kind of like, you know, like kind of spinny, I don't know what you call that, forward, front wheel, hook spin, back flip, shadow kick or something. I don't know.
You want to repeat that?
I think there's a name for that kind of kick where you like, it's like you kick it, but you like don't kick with the back way, you kick with the front
way. For the audience
way.
At home, Dan is flailing his arms around.
It's not like a roundhouse kick. It's more than a roundhouse
kick. Wasn't it more like up? Riker's was up.
But Quinn did some kind of roundhouse kick.
That was
some spinny roundhouse kick.
And then he just tossed Worf over the fucking
yeah,
table.
Okay, so like Beverly Crusher comes in and saves the day.
As is typical of Beverly Crusher.
Right, but two questions. Number one, why didn't Worf have a phaser on him? Because I can understand why Riker would have not been able to do it, because he was surprised. He was basically, it was a cheap shot on Riker. Yeah. And he, you know, but Worf had plenty of time, so much time that like he was able to look at Worf, and then Worf's like... So he like sits and watches them. So Worf has plenty of time to pull out a phaser. Maybe he just didn't know that he was that strong. I don't know.
I think it's another example of the production team being like, it would be yeah. awesome to see Worf fight this guy instead of just
yeah,
shoot him with
obviously.
A fucking phaser.
Obviously. Yeah. So, right. But my other question is kind of on a tangent. It's why are Worf and Geordi running? I can't remember when Worf...
You mean when they have that crazy chase music and they're just like running?
Yeah. They're like running through, booking
super,
it through
super,
the hallway.
Super synth crazy
I like
music.
It at the end when, I think it's Admiral Aaron is like running away from when he runs away yeah. at the end too. I was like, wow, he's pretty spry. But when did Worf become, were they security? Was Worf part of security?
He was tactical.
Again?
And then when Tasha yeah. Yar dies.
So he's security.
That's when he moves.
So
over
he's security,
security
yeah. at this point. Now, why is Geordi there? Cause he is Geordi.
Geordi's not in engineering.
He's yet. Not in engineering yet.
Yeah, until the second season.
Yeah. And I can't remember what his position before.
He's the con officer.
He's just like a helper guy.
He's the pilot.
Yeah.
Well, a yeoman would
What's
be
a
like
pilot?
Well, you know what a pilot is.
What's a pilot?
We're a pilot.
What's a pilot?
All right, we got only so much time to conclude our discussion.
He wasn't
here.
A yeoman.
And, no, he wasn't a yeoman. I'm saying a yeoman would have been a helper person. He was the pilot of the ship.
A yeoman would have been like a production assistant.
Yeah. All right, so Picard goes down, then they have the mealworms, and then you get the joke, mealworms. Because it's like a meal?
Oh, it's like a meal. I don't know if they... Do you think that was a joke on purpose? They
no,
made?
But it's funny to me. Was that the mealworm eating scene?
That was when Riker was playing with his food. Now, okay, if you notice, when they weren't eating it, they were all squiggly. Yeah. So they made them squiggly. But of course, when they were eating them, they weren't squiggly. So I'm impressed that they at least got real mealworms. But my question is, though, when Riker picked them up, he mm-hmm. was picking up what looked like legit mealworms. Yeah. And he was all on his fingers and stuff. Yeah. And that was him. And he put it over his face. Don't you think he was scared, like, when he was doing that scene? He's like, what if some of them fall out of my hands and into my mouth, you know?
What if that's his kink?
Well... Then we have
Jonathan Frakes has a mealworm.
Then we have our answer. But if that's not the case, I'm wondering if he's worried about that.
That's my hypothesis.
I don't know.
Let's go about trying to disprove that hypothesis.
I don't know if there's enough evidence to suggest such a thing.
All right.
Evidence!
There we go. Thank you.
Speaking of evidence.
Evidence!
And speaking of Riker, actually, this is after the Horatio explodes. It's the Horatio, right?
Yes, the Horatio.
So
we're not allowed to see the actual ship. We only get to see the chunky bits.
So when the scene starts with Riker and Picard, and Riker's like, to Picard, he goes, but if we have no facts, we have to assume that the explosion was an accident. Okay, we're talking about evidence here. Like, why would you have to assume that? I think there's enough evidence in place to assume that it wasn't an explosion. First of all...
It is not a logical conclusion.
It's not logical to think that a starship is just going to blow up. And it's also considering that they were already shaded out by some shit to begin with, and then he happens to die. I think there's enough evidence to assume. And even if none of that shit was in place, it's not likely to assume that a ship's just going to blow up. And I like the reasoning, what was it, Quinn gave Picard? Or was it Aaron for why the ship blew up? He said it was gross negligence.
Gross negligence.
It's like, what? What does it even mean? Like,
yeah, I know, right?
How gross is your negligence? Like, even if the captain, like, fell asleep at the bridge, like, you got other crew people there. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's true. It was, there was definitely some leaps in logic here, some crazy use of technobabble inconsistent to what they would later figure out. Mm-hmm. But again, even with the Remick scene, right? So they have the mealworm scene. Just to wrap that up, the mealworm scene is delightfully creepy.
Yeah,
very well done.
It's good.
A little non-Star Trek-y. It felt almost more like Doctor Who or something, because it's like, here, like, let's invite somebody to dinner, and then everyone's sitting at their own weird, awkward, far-apart little mini-tables. Mm-hmm. Then this other guy shows up. Remember, it wasn't the Admiral's invited Picard to dinner. And who's that guy? Who's that just that handsome guy? That handsome square-jawed guy?
Oh, right, yeah. Who was that guy? He seemed like he was in on it.
Just some other guy.
Just some other guy.
Eating mealworms. And they're all like, ha ha ha, we're all like eating mealworms.
Yeah.
That's where the writing in this episode starts to fall apart, because up until this point, it was a creepy, sinister, conspiracy style story.
It turned into some weird horror stuff.
Then, once they went into the horror stuff and the creepy stuff, because it's like, why would these people like be like chortling and being all like evil mastermind stuff? I don't know. It just seemed...
We never really found out any motivation for the aliens much.
And it didn't square with these aliens have very patiently, very carefully have infiltrated Starfleet and have been sophisticated enough to nearly successfully hide their activities, only having like three Starfleet captains sort of figure out that something might be going on. And even those people, not it's being more of a vibe than actual having actual evidence. And then all of a sudden they're like, let's just sit around and be like, God, we're gonna do some weird shit.
Well, yeah, and they were talking about how their advantage was they were so patient. Like the scene with Riker, Quinn was basically like, he like went, it was Worf and Geordi came into the room, and then Quinn was like, he slipped and fell. And then he was like, well, I'm gonna go now. And they're like, wait, shouldn't you hang out and wait for the doctor? And like, instead of being like, oh yeah, you're right, he like immediately attacks them.
Yeah.
Like, out of that. It's like, that's not patient.
It made
like,
no sense.
It's like, Geordi didn't accuse you of anything. He's like, hey, we should hang out with the doctor. It's like, you're not found out yet. Like, there's no reason to break into a fight. So that doesn't sound like very...
And throw him through the fucking doors, which was hilarious.
That was pretty awesome, too. And then Geordi shook that off pretty good.
But okay, so they do the clever ruse with Riker, which I remember...
The Riker ruse.
I remember the Riker ruse, which was fun. Good to see that, and the little fake little gill, which wasn't wiggling.
And his wasn't wiggling.
His wasn't wiggling.
His was a non-wiggler. It was a non-wiggler!
It was a non-wiggler!
It was a non-wiggler! A piece of toast!
A piece of toast!
A piece
They...
A piece of toast!
The lawn is on it.
They shoot a few of the people. They chase, what was that, Admiral Aaron?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was the one who had to run off.
Yeah.
Shoot him in the back and all that. Okay, so they got them.
Got
them
good.
But then they got to go around the corner. They find Remick, and he's got this crazy awesome 3D space map behind him.
Yeah.
It looks so cool. I guess it was marking out sectors or something. But there was something about that graphic behind him. I was like, it was so like 70s, 80s sci-fi, like hand-drawn, but made to look like computers sci-fi, that I was really, really digging that.
Yeah, I like when they have those like like looks like an old Apple II computer or something like that. We never actually. So we did talk about how like there was episode the episode led up to this. We neither of us remember enough about it to know if there was any sort of clue that some of this shit was going on prior. Like,
well,
Remick,
Admiral Quinn at the end of the previous episode, the reveal of coming of age, not the previous episode, the end of coming of age. He told Picard that the whole reason he went through this whole like aggravating them with having Remick interview everybody and give everyone a hard time was because Quinn was testing to see if Picard and his crew had been replaced, like if they were who they said they were. And he was implying that there was something going on.
So we don't know, because Remick almost now was Remick. Was he the host of the Queen, or did the Queen? The Queen just kind of. What we're led to believe is the bug climbs into Remick's mouth and that bug turns into the Queen?
No,
like the home base?
He's the home base
and the Queen lives.
When he exploded, a bunch of little ones came out.
Okay, so Remick, Remick turns out to be like the host of the Queen or whatever. And so we can safely assume that if there's a conspiracy going on in that, what was that episode called?
Coming of Age.
If there's a conspiracy going on in the Coming of Age, we can assume that Remick was probably infected or possessed or
yes, whatever. or
because if he has the
somewhere
queen,
along the line he got I would
he
say
got queenified.
I would argue that yes, Remick must have had the Queen inside because A, he was involved directly in the machinations. B, at the end of that episode he talks about how much he wants to join the Enterprise as a crew member, and everyone gives him a side eye because they're like, you suck.
No, but speaking of cool graphics, I liked that when Data was, first of all, when Data was like at the computer, you know, and the computer interrupted him. First of all, Data was so stoked that he was talking to himself. First season Data weirdness. He started talking to himself.
Caught himself talking to himself and was delighted by it.
Yeah, he loved it. But the graphic, did you like that? How it was shooting through all these images?
Yes,
did you see the
prey,
one that looks like
there's
did,
a parrot?
Yeah, was that a parrot?
There
it
was
looked
a parrot
to me,
from
no,
the Apple 2GS.
No, what it looked like, to me, a human perched on a piece of wood with parrot feet and wings. It had a human face to me.
Okay, that's horrifying. That's not what I got. I just got a parrot, and I seem to remember vaguely, maybe, it might just be my memory of this episode, but I also have a vague memory of a popular program, maybe it was Logo or something on Apple, on the Apple II, where in the advertisements on the box, maybe on the back of the box, there was a green monochrome parrot rendered. And I think that was the one they were using, but I could be wrong about that.
I took a picture of it.
All right. So Dan took a picture of it. He's going to bring the phone over here.
Yeah, I am.
And show
one
me
second.
That. All right. So Dan's making his way
there's
over.
There's a little bit of a glare from the, it's from the TV, but doesn't that look like a human's face?
Okay. You know what? It definitely looks like something weird is going on there. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Or is that
like a haircut?
Or is that like a, I don't know what that is. That's really disturbing. All right, we might have to put that on the in the show notes or on social media. Yeah, check out social media. It's got Star Trek at It's Got Star Trek.
Could
on
you
on social media? We'll post that picture.
I wonder if they could tell I was at a different microphone and now I'm back at my original one.
Yeah, you should go hang out at Jesse's microphone.
Do you think? Hang out, Jess's microphone. Do you think they could hear me go clop, 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 clop over to your microphone?
Well, yes, Dan, because you have cloven hooves. Yeah. Because you are a satyr. People always wonder, it's like, you know, that Dan, he's quite the rascal. It's like, Dan is an actual satyr.
Mm-hmm.
Cloven hooves and all.
You.
Huge penis. Huge penis just dangling. Anyway. Stop motion mini monsters. We talked about neck bone. The puffy neck bone. We didn't talk about
Riker. I was talking about how Riker said there's not enough evidence to think it was anything other than an accident. Speaking of evidence, Riker also goes, I don't believe this conspiracy theory at one point. And it's like, oh yeah, you don't. But like, based on what? He just decides. He just declares, I don't believe this conspiracy theory based on nothing.
Yeah.
He just assumes the ship just blew up on its own. That's what you have to assume based on nothing else. And based on nothing else, you have to believe there's no conspiracy. I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he's trying too hard in this episode.
Yeah. It's because he doesn't have the beard yet.
Maybe you could be on to something.
Beardless Riker.
There was also, remember how I played before this thing? I said they said some cool things in this episode, like,
if I led you up the garden path, I humbly ask your forgiveness.
I like that line, but then there was also this.
We don't stand on ceremony here.
I don't know. These are phrases people don't say anymore. We don't stand on ceremony here.
Actually, counterpoint, we don't stand on ceremony is a common phrase.
I've never heard anybody
heard
in casual conversation.
Frequently, I've used that
phrase. What have you gone to your, like, academic speech a requirement class.
No, because in those contexts, they do enjoy the ceremony. They do stand on ceremony. They stand right on fucking top of ceremony.
Nobody says...
We don't stand on ceremony here.
Write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
You've only...
And tell Dan that we don't stand on ceremony is a common phrase.
No, you've only heard it at your, like, Word presentations.
Microsoft Word presentations?
No, just your...
My Word Star?
Your
Word Perfect?
Your verbosity speeches that you go attend every once in a while.
My verbosity speeches.
Yeah. Because nobody fucking says that anymore, ever.
Are there any
Name one time someone said that. Name the time. I want an hour, a minute,
a
date.
I've heard that phrase so often that it is...
Oh,
it
bullshit.
Is in fact,
bullshit.
It is paradoxically impossible for me to actually select a single time to cite as an example.
I don't think so.
Bullshit.
Any other odd turns of phrase?
Negative.
Well, then I can just play this one again.
Tired of life I was, but not anymore. Well,
that one I like. Yeah. The last one I like. The last one I wanted to mention was the creepy proto X-Files ending shot, where very out of character, the Enterprise actually sort of leaves the shot.
Yeah.
And then you hear a beep, 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 beep. And just see a slow zoom in on a nebula.
Yeah.
And it really was something you would see a few years later on the X-Files when they'd end an episode. I think they've done something very similar with beeping and showing the night sky.
Did you
very
notice
ominous.
Some of the stars were foreground moving stars and some weren't.
No, it was wicked.
But
it was rad.
Well, that brings to the point of this implied that they were going to come back to this somehow,
yes.
And they never did.
And they never did. And people online have suggested and lamented the
because
fact...
Because it ended up with like, oh shit, they sent out a message to... The implication is...
They're communicating back.
With their people back home and they're coming.
But online, many people have wondered when, if, why they haven't come back to this storyline. We know why they didn't originally. They abandoned this storyline for what turned into the Borg storyline. And the Borg storyline itself had a couple of stops and starts.
You know, they could have taken a break from the Borg storyline every once in a while, maybe to come back to this thing.
Agree. And you are not the only person to have voiced such a thought, especially when it got into Voyager, because it's like, hey, why didn't Voyager encounter these people? You could have always argued that that's the direction of space that they were coming from.
I'm receiving a code 47.
Code 47.
It is code 47, sir.
Some people had suggested thought that maybe Picard season 3 was going to touch base on this. That would be one way to sort of wrap up that series, but they didn't do that. I had thought in the past that maybe Lower Decks would at least do a joke about it, bringing it back, or maybe even have it as a season-long arc dealing with these creatures in some way, but alas, that didn't happen. Still an opportunity in the future. I would love to see them come back to this storyline, as weird and creepy as it is.
Okay, so I have to point this out. At around 2707, all right, a dude, it's a scene with...
In the episode.
It's a scene with Picard, Riker, and Quinn. And yeah, of course, in the episode, what else would I be talking about?
I thought maybe the podcast.
Oh, no. This episode. Okay.
IGST, okay. Known colloquially as IGST.
So they're talking in the foreground and a dude walks in behind him in the background and you kind of see the top of his head fiddling with, and you can tell he's fiddling with a computer and they're kind of like talking and going back and forth. And then about 30 seconds later, you get the punchline. Quinn leaves. Riker steps over to the side to reveal that this dude is sporting a uniform skirt and some powerful legs.
Oh, nice. He's wearing a skirt?
Yes, he is. Or whatever it's called. I call it a uni skirt, but like, I don't know. I think Lower Decks...
I thought they called it a skirt, like a cross between shorts and...
That's what Lower Decks called it, I think. Oh. Was that based on something else?
I don't know. I think there's a few fandom...
Because it's like...
Skirt?
It's one of those things that I remember...
Scrount?
For the longest time, it was one of those things that I
remember... Drax them sclounced?
It was one of those things that for the longest time I remembered that I'd seen it, but I couldn't figure out where I'd seen it. And for a while I thought I'd just made... For a while I was like, wait, mate, did I make that up?
No, it appears in a few season one episodes.
And so now whenever I see it, I have to point it out because it is so interesting that that's a thing. And the dude's legs were like really nice. He had some nice legs.
I think an encounter at Farpoint had the first one
which
of those.
I think that what made it more disconcerting is that because his legs were so beautiful, like, I don't know, it's just like they did it on purpose.
That guy had some beautiful gams.
Yeah. Gams.
Gotta love them 1980s games.
His haunches. Do you like talking about people's haunches?
It depends on the context.
That's no kind of answer.
it's an answer. The answer you're going to get, given the fact that we've run out of time here tonight, on the It's Got Star Trek podcast, colloquially known as IGST. You're going to search for a couple of final things. I already mentioned social media at It's Got Star Trek.
I wanted to play. There's one round of duty or no duty.
Dan wants to play duty or no duty. So
here we go.
I see you keep up with our duty roster.
Well, that's a no duty.
You think so?
Yeah, he says duty.
With our duty roster.
He enunciates it very clearly.
With our duty roster.
I don't know.
You're saying I don't know in a weird way. This is making me uncomfortable.
With our duty roster.
I confess, I'm just joshing you. Yes, that's a definite duty. Okay. That's a definite no duty.
You're throwing me off there.
That was a definite no duty. Oh, I also want to play the sound of Riker getting Vulcan neck pinched. All right. This is the scene. Here's in short. Sounds like he's like purging. Yeah, like he's like throwing up in the toilet.
That's good. That was worth it. That was worth it. I like that.
That was a really weird sound. I would say Spock is much better at the Vulcan neck pinch than Savar because like Spock knocks people out right away, but Riker's just a badass because he was resisting.
It's that Alaskan thick neck strength.
Yeah, must be.
Famous for it. All right.
Famous.
Okay. Famous. That's going to do it for us this week. Social media at It's Got Star Trek. Check us out most places, but especially Blue Sky. That's where people seem to be hanging out these days.
These days,
this is the way people are hanging out on Blue Sky.
Blue Ski.
Check out Blue Sky as quickly as you can.
If I could see, I'd be seeing stars.
We're on YouTube, Facebook. Email is feedback at itsgotstartrek.com.
What do you think about this line?
If I could see, I'd be seeing stars.
It's a fun line. It's a fun line.
You're done. He's done.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in the back matter of the show.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I have to. Okay, I'm sorry. I have to bring this up.
Okay.
Swimming is too much like bathing.
Ah, yes.
Is he saying that because he doesn't bathe, or is he saying that because it's like it's personal, like bathing?
I think the implication here is pretending
that he doesn't bathe.
Rather offensively, I think, that Klingons don't bathe, which I don't think is true.
But you could also take it as he thinks of it as it's a very intimate, personal thing like
bathing. I would prefer to think of it that way. Let's say that.
The way I mentioned it?
I think the way you mentioned it is a less offensive construction.
A human idiosyncrasy. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'm done now.
Website is www.itsgotstartrek.com. And Patreon is patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. Also, fun stuff there, including some free samples. Go check it out.
No, I insist.
I think that's everything they need to know. All right.
That's everything?
That's everything. So next week, we are going to be discussing Star Trek Deep Space Nine, third season episode, Explorers.
Why not?
And yes, why not?
That's a good episode. We're going to enjoy talking about that. We hope you enjoy we hope you enjoy listening to that episode. We hope you
not without killing the patient.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode, despite the incorrect characteristic lack of Jesse. We hope
it's too late.
We Dan and I managed to pull together something for you to be entertained by. So,
what the hell is all this about?
With that, we will conclude this discussion, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.
Thanks for coming.
So the guy staggers to his feet and goes back to the girl, right? Well, she smiles, looks him straight in the eye and says, just try that in hyperspace.
I see. So the difficulty in attaining such complex positioning in zero gravity environment, coupled with the adverse effects it would have on the psychological well-being of the average human male, is what makes this anecdote so amusing. Yes. Very humorous indeed. Hysterical, in fact.